Welcome to Onclive On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. Onclive On Air is a podcast from Onclive, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onclive covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Tysel Phillips, MD, about the FDA approval of epcoritamab in patients with relapsed refractory diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. Phillips is an associate professor in the Division of Lymphoma and Department of Hematology and Hematopoietic Cell Transplantation at City of Hope in Duarte, California. On May 19, 2023, the FDA granted accelerated approval to epcoritamab for adult patients with relapsed refractory DLBCL not otherwise specified, including high-grade B-cell lymphoma and DLBCL arising from indolent lymphoma, who have received at least two prior lines of systemic therapy. This regulatory decision was backed by findings from the Phase 1-2 EPCORE-NHL-1 trial, in which treatment with epcoritamab led to an overall response rate of 61%. Additionally, in an expansion cohort of patients with CD20-positive DLBCL, epcoritamab elicited a complete response rate of 38%. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Phillips discussed the significance of this approval, key efficacy and safety findings from EPCORE-NHL-1, and the potential future of bispecific antibodies in this setting. All right, so just talking today about the FDA approval of epcoritamab in relapsed refractory LBCL, just what is the significance of this approval and how does it affirm or affect current clinical practice?
Given the patient population and I guess I shouldn't say lack of options, but lack of options with durable responses that we have for patients with relapsed refractory diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, I think this is very important just to provide an alternative, especially for some people who are unable to make it to a center to get CAR-T or who are reluctant to travel to a CAR-T center. This sort of treatment, which still uses T-cells, provides them an alternative option for that. And also for those patients who may not have a durable response to CAR-T, this also provides an option for those patients to hopefully, in some ways, maybe recapture the response they had to a previous CAR-T infusion, or even improve upon the responses that they had with CAR-T. So I think in a multitude of different ways, it gives us a couple options to provide patients either with options post-CAR-T or an alternative to patients who are unfortunately unable to get the CAR-T.
Can you just expand a little bit on the patient population that this approval is indicated for and how this agent meets some unmet needs there?
So this will be for third line and beyond diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. And so in that setting, we do have all three CAR-T products. But again, as I mentioned before, that is limited to approved CAR-T centers. For the majority of the country, there probably aren't any CAR-T centers in that general vicinity or area. At last checked, I think CAR-T was utilized in maybe 25% of eligible patients, which means that we are not getting this treatment to a far number of patients that probably need it. As this drug can be given in these private practice settings outside of academic centers, epcoritamab does expand the reach of a T-cell-directed therapy to these patients. And given the overall response rate and the CR rate and the durability of response of this treatment, this does provide probably a better alternative to some of the other agents that are approved in this setting, such as lenalidomide, tafasitamab, polatuzumab, bendamustine, and loncastuximab, and selinexor.
What subgroups of large B-cell lymphoma did the EPCORE-NHL-1 trial enroll?
So enrolled all patients for relapsed refractory diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. All of the patients should have failed at least two lines of therapy at the time of enrollment. Patients could have been have prior exposure to CAR-T. There were several patients who had prior exposure to autologous stem cell transplant. 21% of the patients had a prior auto transplant. 39% of the patients had a prior exposure to CAR-T. The majority of the patients were refractory to last line of therapy. They did enroll de novo diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, transformed diffuse large B-cell lymphoma. And there were a few patients who had high-grade B-cell lymphoma, which is akin to like double hit. There were a few primary mediastinal patients and some patients with follicular grade 3B.
So then what were some of the key efficacy findings that were found in EPCORE-NHL-1?
So there was an overall response rate of 63%, which is pretty good, but obviously that's not necessarily the biggest indicator of response in diffuse large B-cell lymphoma because, you know, you can't live with this cancer. So I think the complete response rate is probably a more important barometer of how effective the treatment is. So the complete response rate for this treatment was 39%, which again, in that heavily pretreated patient population is fairly impressive. The time to response was fairly quick, 1.4 months. The median time to a complete remission was 2.7 months. And at last sort of presentation, the median duration of response was around 12 months. And for patients in a complete remission, the median duration of response was not reached. So the important thing is for patients who get a complete remission, it does appear that those patients having a durable response. And obviously, we'll need to sort of get longer follow-up to see how that will compare to what we see with CAR T treatments to see if there's any plateau in the patients who have a CR to see if the responses are maintained in durability.
What does the safety profile look like for epcoritamab? And then are there any patients in whom you would hesitate to use this agent?
So the safety profile was pretty good, actually, for this line of treatment. The biggest concerns are cytokine release syndrome and neurological events, which we refer to as ICANS. So specifically looking at the treatment, most patients who discontinued treatment discontinued for progressive disease. There were very few patients who discontinued treatment for adverse events. I think it was only at 7%. And if you look at the major adverse events, the major one would be cytokine release syndrome, which was seen in over 50% of the patients. But most of the CRS events were grade 1 to grade 2. And the far majority of them were grade 1 at 31% versus 15% were grade 2. And only 2.5% had grade 3 or above. Fever, which was also noted, but it could also be wrapped into CRS. There was some neutropenia in these patients. And as far as neurological complications such as ICANS, there were only 10 patients in the entire study who had ICANS and only one that was higher than a grade 1 to 2, which indicates that this treatment regimen is fairly safe. Obviously, as we are in the COVID sort of era forever at this point, these sort of treatments need to be sort of taken in the scope of that, as there are some COVID-related incidents with these treatments. And I'm sure with any of the sort of treatments we use, unfortunately for B-cell lymphomas, we're going to run into COVID-related events, and this is no different. With the approval of epcoritamab, obviously, that's a big step having a bispecific antibody that we can use in routine clinical practice. The key thing with this is it is given up in a step-up dosing fashion to reduce some of the side effects that we talked about, such as CRS and ICANS. So the drug is given at a very low dose for the first injection, which is a subcutaneous injection, with increasing dose as we move up. So for the final dose is 48 milligrams. Once the final dose is reached, the drug is given weekly for the first three cycles, then every other week for cycles 4 through 9, and then monthly until, you know, disease progression or intolerance. So I think the biggest takeaway of this is still the tolerability of the treatment. But I think moving forward, given that there are likely other bispecifics that will probably be approved in this setting, some of them have a finite treatment period. The question will be whether we need to treat these patients indefinitely or if we can stop treating some of these patients who want a complete remission and still maintain that remission. So I think evaluating how this drug does with more long-term follow-up and some of the other agents with more finite treatment will be important and will sort of dictate sort of how the field goes, whether these will be time-limited treatments or treatment to progression or intolerance. But I think providing this option, especially, again, an option that being given in the community setting is a big step in the right direction. Given the low rates of CRS and ICANS, I think this can be safely given in a community setting, which should allow much more patients to get exposed to these valuable treatments. CAR-T naive patients had a higher, you know, overall response rate and CR rate than CAR-T exposed patients. So ideally, those patients who cannot get to CAR-T, the treatment in this situation is something that may be a reasonable alternative for patients who cannot get access to CAR-T or can, you know, get to a CAR-T center or refuse to go to a CAR-T center. So these are things that we have to keep in mind and we'll sort of, you know, tease out as we get further along with more information with epcoritamab and some of the other bispecifics.
Are you or City of Hope part of any ongoing lymphoma research that you'd like to highlight?
We are participating in quite a few studies with a multitude of the bispecific antibodies, one with the trispecific antibody. And we also have several CAR-T products that are being explored with sort of different antigen targets other than the typical CD19. So I think the field itself is moving toward an mediated approach for a lot of our treatments for several different subtypes of lymphoma. And City of Hope is at the forefront of exploring a lot of these treatments. So I think it's an exciting time for our patients. It's an exciting time for us as investigators to get the opportunity to see how these treatments are making a difference in the lives of our patients. And with a toxicity profile, obviously, that's much different than what we typically see with chemotherapy.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and at OncLiveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.